Ed Bichette, our Steelers insider, joining us from the PG as well. Ed, I always worry after huge games like last week's was that a team might have some kind of a hangover. And then you throw in the physicality, the brutality, the violence of that game and the after effects of that. What kind of shakes do you see the Steelers in this week?
Well, they're in good shape, John. You know, physically, you're right on that thing. I mean, they've had two tough, tight games, one against an opponent that, you know, ranks about where the Bengals do right now, the Buffalo Bills, and then their most fierce opponent, Baltimore, both on the road. So they're coming home. That might be, you know, maybe sometimes that you get a little let down when you know, oh, man, we're going home and play three straight games. But I don't expect this team to do that based on a couple things. Last year, the game in Cincinnati this year, and the fact that the Bengals swept them last year.
Physically, how are they?
Oh, they're fine. I mean, Heath Miller I don't think is going to play. Ben's still, you know, Ben is all banged up, but he was banged up last week. So, yeah, I just heard that quote from Carlos Dunlop. It's pretty brave talk from a guy who has 14 total tackles all season. He hasn't gotten anybody on the ground.
Ed usually says what he thinks. That's what we like about you, Ed. How are you?
Good, Joe.
Brian McFadden was an issue on this show this week. A lot of people calling in. I defended him somewhat. Does he keep his job? What do you think of his play?
Well, it's been up and down, I think, Joe. I think he's had some good moments and some not-so-good moments. Those all weren't his problems last week. You know, I think he lost a little focus on the 14-yard touchdown pass because both he and Troy were in the zone, and there was just the one receiver, Bolden, and, you know, the play broke down, and it did take some time, but Bryant lost sight of Bolden and, you know, let him get wide open in the end zone there. But and he, you know, I think the 61-yard deep one was part of his problem too. But there was a blitz on that. So, you know, he's not going to the Pro Bowl. But between him and William Gay, that's who you would start. You're certainly not going to start Keenan Lewis.
Another topic that was pretty hotly debated this week was Ben Roethlisberger, and John and I both felt that was an amazing performance the other night. Some people said, you know, he got one touchdown and was off a 9 or 10 yard drive, whatever it was. Obviously, at least I wasn't looking at the numbers. I was looking at what he was playing through, who he was playing against, and it was really one of the more dramatic, remarkable performances I've seen from a Steelers quarterback. How did you feel?
Yeah, I love the stats freaks. They look at the paper and they say, oh, he just got one touchdown pass. He was intercepted once, too. Yeah, I agree with you guys. If you look at his passer ratings against the Ravens down through the years, they're in the 80s usually. Not very good. I think he had a 75 the other night. But you can't go by that. I mean, the Ravens have had one of the traditionally good defenses for the last decade in this league. And whoever plays against them is not going to have a great game normally. So I thought as you did, especially under the circumstances of going against a great defense with a broken foot and a broken nose.
Ed Bichette with us here, Seibel and Starkey Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Ed, from the way I understand it, and from some of the people I've talked to, the Bengals have been playing much better than you might otherwise think they are with a 2-11 record. But the reality still stands. They've just been brutal. Bob Berkowski, from what I understand, if he is retained, Cedric Benson is certainly gone. They're not going to pick up the option next year on Chad Ochocinco. Terrell is probably going to be gone. All kinds of people could be gone. Marvin could be gone. I've heard that Mike Zimmer has looked like a dead man walking this week, that he doesn't take losses very well in the first place. How much fight do they expect out of the Bengals?
Well, I think they expect a lot. I mean, if you look at their game against the Saints last week, they should have won that game. You know, the guy jumped off sides, giving the Saints a little extra series there, or some downs anyway, and that's how they beat them with 30-some seconds left. And, you know, they've had some close games here. Buffalo and the Jets weren't particularly close, but, you know, they played Indy tough. They played Pittsburgh tough, Miami tough, Atlanta tough at Atlanta. I mean, you just go down the list. I'm looking at some of their scores here. There are a lot of tight ones, just like Buffalo was doing before they played the Steelers. And look what the Bills almost did. So I don't think the Bengals, they've lost, what, I don't know how many, what, they lose 8 in a row now? But they it doesn't look like they've lost fight. Now they're coming in. They'd like nothing better than to knock this team off.
A little bit off the topic, Ed, but a question that just popped into my mind, given the Dave Wannstedt situation at Pitt, and you're the perfect guy to ask. Way back when Wannstedt was, I guess, a serious candidate at the same time as Bill Cowher, how close did he get to getting the Steelers job?
Oh, it was close. It was like Tomlin and Russ Grimm, that kind of close, Joe. I'm trying to remember whose side was on who. I think Art was a Wannstedt guy back then. And his dad was a Cowher guy. I think that's how it went. And, you know, who knows what would have happened. Would they have been as successful as Cowher? I don't know. I like to think that the organization is successful as a whole. And you could not just plug in any coach, but you plug in a good coach, and he's going to have success with this organization the way it's all set up.
Well, speaking of Cowher, some quotes came out this week that really seem to indicate next year is the year he'll return to the NFL. Where do you think is the likely landing spot, Ed?
Well, I kept hearing, and this is for a couple years now, Joe, either Houston or Tampa. Would be perfect spots for him. This is coming from people he knows. And, you know, if Houston doesn't make the playoffs and Cowher's up out there, you know, available, they have the quarterback. He's told me that he wants to go somewhere where there's an established quarterback. It's one of the reasons, and I don't think it was the only reason, but one of the reasons he wasn't interested in Buffalo last year. And they have an owner, a good owner down there who can pay some money. So, I don't know. I keep looking at Houston, Joe.
Ed, still got a quarter of the season to go, and world champions aren't built at the end of November nor the beginning of December. They're formed in the month of January. But that being said, what do you think priority number one needs to be for the Steelers as they finish out the regular season, if, in fact, they want to make up the perceived ground between them and New England?
Well, Dick LeBeau's told people that that's never going to happen to them again if they play New England again. It's nice to, you know, think that way, but I've seen nothing. It seems to be a bad matchup for the Steelers against New England. I mean, they can't run out and get, you know, a couple of Pro Bowl cornerbacks, which would help. Maybe getting Aaron Smith back is going to help a little bit if he is indeed going to be back by then, which would be, it looks like the only way they'd play New England would be in an AFC championship game. So you'd think that Aaron's going to be back by then, that might help. But I just don't like the matchup, and especially if they have to play up there.
What's your hunch on Aaron Smith right now?
He's not going to be back for the regular season. I'm pretty sure about that. They're hoping for the bye in the playoffs, you know, to get one of the two seeds, and that gets them another week. I would say either that first playoff game or if they win it, the title game.